Okay, Joe Rogan, host of The Man Show, Comedy Central, host of Fear Factor, host of a new big show coming out on CBS, host of Ultimate Fighting Championships, top comedian, good friend of mine. He was on with us in the last hour talking about electronic voting machines, government corruption, you name it. He'll be riding shotgun with us for the rest of this hour, but for the next 40 minutes or so, Vincent Bugliosi is our guest. He really doesn't need any introduction. Mr. Bugliosi was the individual who successfully prosecuted the Manson family and, of course, had a best-selling book there. Things he's written have been made into TV and movies, and it goes on and on. His new book is The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. Vincent Bugliosi, available at Amazon.com and everywhere else. And I tell you, we are really honored to have him on with us. And Joe Rogan, again, is going to be riding shotgun. And you know, he's really politically active and been exposing what the administration's been doing. So he'll be chiming in as well. Mr. Bugliosi, thanks for coming on with us.
Well, I'm happy to be on the show, Alex. I appreciate it.
You bet. You are a very well-respected prosecutor and crime investigator. What made you write this book, and why should, what a provocative headline, titled The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. I mean, tell us about it.
Yeah, well, Alex, I don't like to see anyone get away with murder, much less over 100,000 murders. When you stop and think about the thousands upon thousands of deaths in Iraq and the horror and the screaming and the sea of blood and the incredible suffering there, it's unimaginable. And the question is, who's going to pay for all of this? Someone has to pay. And the person that has to pay, obviously, is the one that's responsible for all of this horror and death and suffering. And that person, the evidence shows, is George Bush. So far, he's gotten away with murder. This book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, may put an end to it, may put him where he belongs in an American courtroom being tried for murder. This obviously is the most explosive book of my 30-year career. I've had three books, got up to number one on the New York Times bestseller list, Outrage on the Simpson Case, Helter Skelter, and The Sea Will Tell. And this book is not my magnum opus. That's Reclaiming History, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy, which is presently being made by Tom Hanks and his people into a 10-hour miniseries for HBO. But this is the most explosive book. I'm dead serious about it. I've had 21 successful murder prosecutions, and at this stage in my life, you know, I'm 73, I wouldn't in a million years think of bringing a case against the President of the United States unless I thought there was sufficient evidence and that I was standing on very firm legal ground. And hopefully we'll be able to get into some of the evidence against Bush.
Well, let me just throw this out. And I've ordered the book. I haven't gotten it yet. I can't wait to read it, sir, and I really respect your opinion on this. My problem here is that we have the White House memos ordered by Bush to be written up by John Yoo, by, of course, now Attorney General, then Chief Counsel Alberto Gonzalez, a former attorney general, saying they can torture children sexually with pliers, that they can torture someone to death, and if they didn't mean to kill them, it's okay. That right there, isn't that arrestable? I mean, isn't that Joseph Mengele type stuff?
Yeah, this book has nothing to do with torture. When you talk about mass torture, you're talking about the International Criminal Court at The Hague, and they wouldn't even have jurisdiction to go after Bush for this because the United States was not a signatory nation to the agreement establishing the ICC. And it's not clear, it's not completely clear that Bush is complicit in this torture thing. He issued an executive order in February of 2002, mandating that all detainees are treated humanely. But this book has nothing to do with torture. It has something to do with murder, specifically the 4,000 U.S. soldiers who died in Iraq fighting Bush's war. There's kind of an echo, Alex, when I'm talking. If you can tell your radio guy to take the echo out.
Okay, we're not getting that on air, sir. I apologize.
Okay.
Before we get into the evidence, just want to introduce Joe Rogan to you.
And
Joe, what do you think what do you think of the idea of this book? I mean, that's a stunning title by somebody of the caliber of Vincent Bugliosi, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder.
Here's my question, do you really think that it is possible that after he's out of office that he could be brought into court and tried for something like this? Do you really believe that that's possible?
Or will Hillary or McCain or Barack Obama pardon him?
if you're talking about the law, Joe, there's still that echo there. If you're talking about the law, Jesus, the echo's getting worse and worse. So I tell the guy to do something to take away this echo. Joe, if you're talking about the law, the evidence is very, very clear that he can be prosecuted for murder once he leaves office. Look, I'll give you a classic example. In 1974, when Nixon resigned, you're well aware that there was a movement to prosecute him criminally for crimes he committed while he was in office. And of course, Gerald Ford. The law is very, very, very clear. It goes back to the Federalist Papers, Alexander Hamilton, 1787, that once a president leaves office, he can be prosecuted for any crime he committed while he was in office. And I was talking about Nixon. There was a movement, a strong movement in America, after he resigned, to prosecute him for crimes like obstruction of justice and wiretapping and subornation of perjury. And then that was all obviated when President Ford granted him a pardon. So there's no question that he has no immunity from prosecution. Now, on the other question of the likelihood of this happening, I'll be candid with you. I do not believe there's a high probability of this, but I definitely believe there's a substantial possibility that George Bush will, in fact, be prosecuted for murder as a direct result of this book. And the main reason I say this is because of the great number of prosecutors in America I've established jurisdiction for in my book. I've spent well over 100 hours in the law library working on this jurisdiction issue. He can be prosecuted for the crimes of murder and conspiracy to commit murder under both federal and state law. Federally, the prosecutor would only be the U.S. Attorney General in Washington, D.C., acting through his Department of Justice. But on a state level, I've established jurisdiction for the Attorney General in each of the 50 states, plus the hundreds upon hundreds of district attorneys in counties within these states, to prosecute Bush for the murder of any soldier or soldiers from their state or county who died in Iraq fighting Bush's war. With all of these prosecutors, it could be it could number close to 1,000 prosecutors. And with all of the very powerful evidence of Bush's guilt that I presented in my book, it's not unreasonable to believe, Alex, that at least one prosecutor in America, maybe many more, will be courageous enough to say, hey, this is the United States of America. No man is above the law. The evidence of George Bush's guilt is clear, so I'm going to go after him and bring about justice for the American people.
Stay there, sir. Joe Rogan, stay there as well. The new book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. We'll come back and specifically hear about what the crimes are from one of America's most famous prosecutors. We've got quite a combination here today. Vincent Bugliosi, who prosecuted successfully the Manson nutballs. He's written a bunch of best-selling books, 3 New York Times bestsellers. I want to get him back on sometime about his JFK info, because I actually disagree with him on that, but he's written the magnum opus on it, 1,000 pages. So we'll let him come on and school us about that in the near future, if he'll grace us. Quick segment now. I apologize to him about technical problems. Joe Rogan riding a shotgun. Go ahead, sir, right now. Get into why you think Bush is guilty and needs to be prosecuted for murder. Tell us why.
Okay, without getting into the legal complexities of malice aforethought and vicarious liability, which would be very dry and arcane, I can tell you that if Bush were prosecuted for murder, the central overriding question would be, did he take this nation to war in self-defense? If so, it's called justifiable homicide. He claims that he took the nation to war in self-defense, his so-called preemptive strike. If it came out at the trial, however, that he did not take the nation to war in self-defense, but he took the nation to war under false pretenses, then all of the killings in Iraq of American soldiers would be unlawful killings. And being unlawful killings, it would be murder. Let me just talk to you about some of the evidence. If we have time, we can get into more. But I think what I'm going to be telling you is going to be astonishing to you. It'll take a little time, but let me explain it to you. In George Bush's first speech to the nation, Alex, on Hussein in Iraq, October the 7th, 2002, Cincinnati, Ohio, he told Americans that Hussein was a great danger to America, either by Hussein attacking us with weapons of mass destruction or giving these weapons to some terrorist group to do so. And he said that this attack could happen, quote, on any given day, unquote, meaning that the threat was imminent. The only big problem for George Bush, and I don't know how he would get around this at the trial, is that on October the 1st, 2002, 6 days earlier, the CIA sent George Bush its 2002 National Intelligence Estimate, a top-secret classified report representing the consensus opinion of all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies on the issue of whether Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country. And on page 8 of that report, it clearly and unequivocally says, and what I'm about to tell you, to my knowledge, has never appeared before in any American newspaper, any major American paper or magazine. Page 8 clearly says Hussein was not an imminent threat to the security of this country. He would only be a threat if he feared that America was about to attack him. In other words, he would only be a threat if he was forced to fight in self-defense. Now, what we have here is this. We know then, we're not thinking, we know, that when Bush told the nation on the evening of October 7, 2002, that Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country, he was telling millions of unsuspecting Americans the exact opposite of what his own CIA was telling him. I can tell you, Alex, that even if we had nothing else at all, and there's so much more, this alone shows that Bush took this nation to war on a lie, and therefore all the killings of American soldiers in Iraq were unlawful killings and murder.
But there's a key point there, sir, and I'd like you to elaborate on this and get Joe's comment, and then we'll come back and get into more details. We have plenty of time if you've got it. That is, not only was there not a threat if they didn't attack, so he lied and created a false threat, but then by going in, he did create a threat in case Saddam had nerve gas or something. And so not only did he lie, but then he did put the United States in a threat.
Oh, absolutely. Now, with respect to this national intelligence estimate, it gets worse, Alex. It gets worse. On October the 4th, just 3 days after the October 1st, 2002 classified report, Bush and his people had the CIA issue an unclassified summary version of the October 1st classified report so this could be released to the American people and Congress. This unclassified version became known as the White Paper. And in this White Paper that was shown to Congress and the American people, the conclusion of 16 U.S. intelligence agencies that Iraq was not an imminent threat to the security of this country was completely deleted from that White Paper that was shown to the American people. Every single one of those all-important words were taken out.
So then they falsified evidence.
Well, there's no question. I mean, I've got the goods on them. I mean, I'm not about at this stage in my career to bring a false case against George Bush.
Mr. Bugliosi, you talk about them being murderers, and they certainly are. Aren't you worried about them coming after you?
Well, that's something I'd rather not talk about. I don't want to put the thoughts in people's minds. I've had death threats throughout the years in various cases that I prosecuted for murder. But some people are concerned because what it is the right wing in this country, and I'm a moderate, but the right wing has terrified this country, and people are afraid to take on the right wing. The right wing is not afraid of the left wing. The left wing is terrified of
Mr.
the right
Bugliosi,
wing.
Mr. Bugliosi, we're going to break, but I'm going to go ahead and skip this break. We're going to keep talking to you right now. Stay there. For PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and folks listening on the internet, we were just talking to Vincent Bugliosi, and he was bringing up the fact that he's had all these best-selling books and books made into movies. He could not get a U.S. company to do the audiobook. He couldn't raise money when he always can to make this into a film. He had a lot of trouble getting a U.S. publisher. They are very scared of this, and I understand why, the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder. And, sir, you've never had trouble getting in the media before. You were telling me during the break, and you elaborate, that the mainstream media isn't touching this with a 10-foot pole?
They're just terrified, absolutely terrified. I mean, I used to start out all my books on Good Morning America, The Today Show. I've been on TV hundreds of times, but when they hear this title, the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder, they say, oh, well, you know, we can't get into that. Publishers would say to me, Mr. Bugliosi, are you sure you want to publish this book? And one put it in black and white, too hot to handle. They're terrified of the right wing in this country. They're terrified of these people. They're terrified of the Rush Limbaughs of the world. I'm telling you that a shadow of fear has descended on this country. And even though the publishers were very sympathetic with what I was saying and recognized the tremendous marketability of this thing, their fear trumped money. But I'm going to get it out there. I'm going to get it out there. And the documentary people under my direction are going to start reaching out very soon to the prosecutors of America to find a courageous American prosecutor to go against this guy, George Bush. He's gotten away with murder. No one has done anything about it. No one now wants to even talk about it, and that's why I'm happy to be on your show. But the mainstream media is terrified. They do not want to touch this book at all.
Joe Rogan had brought up earlier, when we were getting you back on the line, Mr. Bigliosi, that this has destroyed our name, this fraudulent war, these hundreds of thousands of dead, that we have to do something. We have to at least speak out against it, because if we don't, it's all being done in our name. And you talk about 100,000 dead, the Lancet study and one other, now have been confirmed over 600,000 dead.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, there's one poll that shows, one survey showed over a million. I'm being very, very conservative when I say over 100,000. Very, very conservative.
Mr. Bigliosi?
Yes.
Are you aware of the man who wrote that book, Fortunate Son, J.H. Hatfield?
No, what does that hold?
He was murdered and put in a bathtub.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you don't want to add to this, and I understand that. I don't talk about the death threats I get. But it's one thing to get a threat from the Manson kooks. It's another thing to be going up against the new Adolf Hitler. Sorry, go ahead.
I feel that I don't have any choice. People say how courageous and brave I am. No, I'm not a brave, courageous person. It's anger. Every time I see George Bush with a big smile on his face, and I know that young American soldiers who never even had a chance to live out their dream are being blown to pieces by roadside bombs in Iraq. And this guy here, and the evidence is overwhelming. In my book, I have a whole chapter on it. This guy here, while all this horror was taking place, had fun, and lived life to the fullest. I'm talking about running, bicycling, joking with friends.
No, they admit. Let me stop you. And I mean, Joe's going to throw something in, but I totally agree. He lied and said he hadn't played golf since the war started. Then mainstream news admitted hundreds of times videoed playing golf. It's just constant lying.
Yeah.
They admit he takes a 2-hour nap. He exercises for 3 hours a day. None of us can do that. I mean, this guy lives the life of some type of little tart or something. Joe, you were going to say something?
First of all, I saw the thing about golfing. That was pretty shocking that he would lie about that. I mean, he must know so little about this age of information, how quickly they can research something like that.
Well, he's in Crawford, Texas in 2005, August 13th. He's bicycling and telling the reporters this is a slice of heaven. I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy has enjoyed himself throughout this whole war. You don't have to take my word for it. Bush himself has told people how much he's enjoyed life throughout the entire entire period of this war. Let me give you a couple quotes from
this guy. Hold on. What about his mother? She was asking about all the dead.
Mother. Yeah, that sweet, sensitive mother.
She said, why should I care about body bags and dead troops? Why should I think about that with my beautiful mind?
Of course, yeah. That's all in my book. I'm going to give you some quotes from this guy, and when I give you these quotes, I want you to try to imagine in your wildest imagination Roosevelt and Truman and LBJ and Nixon during their respective wars saying things like this. This is George Bush. Right in the middle of this hellish conflict that he created in Iraq with young kids coming home in an aluminum box, and the parents are told, don't open it up because the contents are unviewable. Here's George Bush. Laura and I are having the time of our life. I'm in a great mood. It's going to be a perfect day. I'm feeling pretty good about life. This guy has enjoyed himself throughout the whole period of this war. He's unbelievable. He hears reports that 8 American soldiers are blown to pieces by roadside bombs in Iraq, and the very next day he's on a street stage in Tbilisi, Russia, swiveling his hips like Elvis to blaring folk music. He has not suffered one day, and I want to put a thought in his mind that he's going to take with him to his grave, that someone may tap him on the shoulder after he leaves office and say, Mr. President, there's some prosecutor up in Fargo, North Dakota. We're due up there Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock. He's charging you with murder. There's no statute of limitations for murder, and there's hundreds of prosecutors out there that could bring this action against him, and I want to bring this guy to justice.
Well, remember Clinton, that grand jury made him testify. Sure, go ahead, Jeff.
Sir, for the legally ignorant like myself, so any prosecutor from any state can bring up these charges against the former president?
I've established that, yes. As long as a soldier from their state or county died fighting George Bush's war. It gets into the issue of overt acts.
And that shows cause. That shows cause and shows you've been hurt, showing the corpse, right? It's showing how you were individually hurt.
Well, here's what it is, and we're getting into a detail here. He can be prosecuted for two crimes, murder and conspiracy to commit murder. The heart of conspiracy to commit murder is an agreement, and obviously there was an agreement back here to take this nation to war. That's back in Washington, D.C. However, the agreement is not enough to make a conspiracy. There's got to be an overt act committed to further the object of the conspiracy.
And then they put out fake data.
Pardon?
Then they put out fake data, that's that.
Okay. The two overt acts here that were committed in all 50 states is the lies that George Bush told in Washington, D.C., Cincinnati, that by way of radio and television went into the homes and cars of every state of this union. That's an overt act. The other overt act is recruiting soldiers from the 50 states to fight his bogus war. Once an overt act has been committed in a state, that state has jurisdiction to prosecute for the conspiracy to commit murder, even if the agreement is in some other state. The law is very clear on this. I've done my homework. I go to court, and I'm prepared. So they have jurisdiction. Now, once they have jurisdiction for the conspiracy to commit murder, then all murders that were committed pursuant to that conspiracy, the state also has jurisdiction to prosecute for those murders. I want to get into another
one. Individual acts, meaning that if he's exonerated for any one of them by the future president, if the future president decides to absolve him, he's still, I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of individual cases you could try him on.
No. If the succeeding president were to pardon him, he could not be prosecuted. If he were pardoned, he could not be prosecuted. Just like,
so it's not like it's a bunch of different acts. If the next president pardons him, he pardons him for.
But we've never had a pardon, have we, for a bogus war?
No. This is the first time. We've been in existence for close to 300 centuries. No American president would ever dream of taking this nation to war under false pretenses. This guy is an aberration. He's a grotesque anomaly. Let's hope we never have another one like him. I want to talk about one other piece of evidence, and there's so much more in my book. January the 31st, 2003, close to 2 months before Bush invaded Iraq, Bush and Tony Blair, British Prime Minister, meet in the Oval Office with six of their aides, one of whom was Blair's chief foreign policy advisor, David Manning.
Is this the White House memo where he talks about painting a U.S. plane up like a U.N.?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's in my film, Terror Storm.
And that's what you read about, that I wrote about, yes.
What is he trying to do? Say
that again? Well, here's what happened. Manning wrote in the memo, and he wrote it the very, very same day. It was a five-page memo stamped extremely sensitive, that during the meeting, Bush and Blair expressed their doubt that any weapons of mass destruction would ever be found in Iraq. Now, this is 2 months before he goes to war claiming that there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. But here's where it gets even worse than that. Manning wrote that Bush was so worried and so upset over the fact that UN inspectors had not found any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that he talked about, quote, provoking a confrontation with Hussein, three possible ways of doing it, one of which, as you indicated, Alex, was to fly U-2 aircraft over Iraq, falsely painted in United Nations colors. And Bush said, if Hussein fires on this aircraft, it would be a violation of UN resolutions and would justify war.
But so that would mean that he thought the UN was going to go along with that line.
Well, no. He's not talking about the UN doing it.
No, the U.S. doing it. I understand.
Yeah. But anyway, here we have George Bush telling Americans, telling the world, that Hussein is an imminent threat to the security of this country, and we have to strike first in self-defense.
And they're trying to provocateur.
But behind closed doors, this small man is talking about how to provoke Hussein into a war. The very last person in the world that someone acting in self-defense would try to provoke is the person they're in deathly fear of, the person who's about to kill them.
And isn't that, as a prosecutor, key to show that he consciously, premeditatedly knew he was fixing intelligence around it and trying to provocateur, as the White House memo says, the Downing Street memo says fixing intelligence around it. So that shows that they knew they were lying and it
absolutely
was a fraud.
That's the Downing Street memo, but I'm talking about the Manning memo.
No, the White House memo.
Which is even more important. The Downing Street memo is that we've decided to go to war, now let's fix the facts to justify the war that we already want. But
separately,
the Manning Street memo, we've got George Bush talking about how to provoke Hussein into a war. If he felt that Hussein was an imminent threat to the security of this country, the thought of provoking Hussein into war would never, ever, ever have entered his mind. We're talking about bad people here now. And they've gotten by with it because of the incredibly inept and spineless media. We're talking about media who are literally physiological marvels. They're able to sit erect in front of a camera without having a spine. I'm talking about the Charlie Roses of the world and the George Stephanopouluses. But I'm not going to let this guy get by with it if I can prevent it.
Okay, Joe Rogan, any questions or comments?
Here's a question. Would other people have to be prosecuted as well? Would the Senate have to be prosecuted? If you prosecuted George Bush for these crimes, would other people have to be brought in?
Well, they would not have to be, but they would. Undoubtedly, Bush conspired with these people. He didn't take the nation to war all by himself. There's no question that Cheney and Rice are involved, probably Rove. They'd all be prosecuted.
The Office of Special Plans, they created a special intelligence unit to make stuff up.
I'm talking about Feith's group. Here we got 16 authorized U.S. intelligence agencies, but then they wanted their own bought and paid for agencies, so they have this guy Feith, who's working at the Department of Defense, has no experience whatsoever in intelligence, and this rogue group on its own is trying to feed Bush exactly what Bush wants to hear.
But Brownie, you're doing a hell of a job.
Pardon?
Remember Brownie, you're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah.
What do you believe is going to happen if the Democrats win? And is that going to make any difference? Is that going to change the climate of a possible prosecution?
Well, you see, on a federal level, let me explain to you. On a federal level, there's really only one prosecutor who could bring these charges. That's the U.S. Attorney General in Washington, D.C. Now, there are 93 U.S. attorneys throughout the entire country. And theoretically, they could bring the charge also. But as a practical matter, it's very, very unlikely that they would go against Bush without the consent of their boss, the Attorney General in Washington, D.C. So from a realistic standpoint, on a federal level, we're only talking about one prosecutor, the U.S. Attorney General in Washington, D.C. But on a state level, we're talking about 50 attorney generals throughout the country, plus the district attorneys in counties within those states. And I say that it's not unreasonable at all to believe that there's one guy out there, at least one guy, that's going to be courageous enough to step forward and say, I'm going to go after him.
Okay.
I'm going to go after
Joe?
him.
I think you're making sense, and I think that is possible. What I'm saying is, do you believe that in the wake of a Democratic election, if the Democrats win, do you think that it's possible that people will start looking at this war, at this presidency, looking at it more clearly?
Yeah, does that increase the chances of...
No, I think that after and it's just speculation, people are concerned about what the Dodgers are doing or the Yankees. Their memory is as permanent as a breath upon
the
air.
Well, look what Bush did for Pardongate with Clinton. He called Congressman Burton's committee and said, drop your investigation, let's just start anew. So there's this tendency to cover up the crimes of the last administration by the new one because they want to get their back scratched when they leave in 4 to 8 years.
Absolutely. I think the likelihood of a prosecution here is going to be on a state and local level. I don't have any confidence in any Democratic president instructing his attorney general to bring charges against Bush. He's going to probably be catering to the right wing. They all cater to the right wing. What they don't realize is that the only way you can cater to the right wing is to change your registration. And by the way, I want to say this very, very clearly to your audience. Because there's been some suggestion that this is politically motivated. I've been a lifetime Democrat only because I am always for the little guy, and unless there's some compelling reason to be otherwise, I'm for the little guy. But my political orientation is not rigid. I supported McCain's run for presidency in 2000. And in my professional career, whether I'm prosecuting a murderer or whether I'm writing a true crime book, credibility has always meant everything to me.
Well, Vincent Bugliosi, we understand this isn't left or right, and we understand, I mean, this is a conservative slash libertarian show, so we don't really get into the whole left-right paradigm. I would love to invite you back on to get into a part two of this book in the next month or so, sir.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir, and I'd also like to talk about your new JFK book that you've got out that's 1,000-something pages.
Well, no, it's more than that. It's the equivalent of 13 volumes of 400-page books. It's already come out. It's already come out, and it just won the Edgar Allan Poe Award for the best true crime book of the year. I was in New York City last year.
Well, I mean, how long is it really? I read it was like 1,500 pages.
Well, the main text is 1,630 pages or something, but then there's a CD-ROM attached to it of another 1,000 pages. So it's
what
the book
on
the case.
JFK?
It's the book on the case, and review after review saying it's a book for the ages. Scott Turow said centuries from now people are going to be reading this book. And as I say, Tom Hanks and his people are doing a 10-hour
Yeah, no. Mr. Bugliosi thinks he has the proof that it was a lone guy that did it, and I can't wait to have him on to talk about it.
I'd love to be on the show.
Well, sir,
I like you guys.
Listen, there's
you're stand-up guys.
There's no time like the present. How about I set you up in a week or two to come on and talk about it?
Okay, the only problem there is that I may be, I have a heavy schedule right now, so I'll give you a phone number. Call Sandy Mendelson, 212.
Oh, hold on, let's not give her number out on air, sir. Okay. During the break, let me talk to you right now.
Okay.
Okay, stay there, sir. Okay.